On the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Coming up later in the program, we will talk to the marketing director, I believe, from America's Cup, Dan Lobring. You know, the race is coming up this weekend off Navy Pier. It's the first time ever there's been a qualifying race for the America's Cup in fresh water. So it's a sort of a new tourism and a sporting venture in the city of Chicago. So we will talk about that a little bit later. And also Frank Sennett is coming by from Crane Chicago Business. And maybe he's going to bring Dairy Queen for us, Terry Savage. Dairy Queen announcing.
I'll stick around.
They're expanding greatly, I guess, in Chicago over the next few years. What's your favorite? Do you have a?
No, I just have the standard, you know, the vanilla with the chocolate dip with the swirl.
They still have the peanut butter parfait? That was my favorite one.
Like, you're just such an eclectic guy. You know, you're a true Renaissance man.
My exotic
plain
ice cream.
Vanilla with chocolate on top.
Get exotic at the Dairy Queen. All right, so there's a Harris poll out today. Now, the jobless rate for April came out last week, so just about a week ago. The unemployment rate is down to 4.7%. That's nice. But only 38,000 jobs created. And according to this Harris poll released today, it's because people have just stopped looking.
This is an astounding figure. Before anybody jumps to claim credit for a booming recovery, have to look beyond the headlines. And it's great that the overall unemployment number, which is all we used to look at, is now down well below 5%. However, the labor force participation rate is down to the lowest level since 1977. It's just over 62%. So the poll said that 59% of those people who've been out of work for 2 years or more say they have just stopped looking. Those are the people that are the longer-term unemployed. Just those all unemployed, including those laid off recently, 43% of those without jobs said they had given up. I mean, what does that say about our economy and about our future?
What does it say? Because, I mean, we had been on a pace of a couple hundred thousand jobs a month. Right? Those are healthy numbers.
Well, you know, don't get me on a rant about the fact that interest rates are too low for banks to lend money to take a risk. Businesses don't want to take a risk because they're tied up in regulations and uncertainty and so forth. But the big picture is that jobs are not being created in America, and those that are low-paying jobs. And none of the policies we've put in place, this is apolitical, this is just a fact, the policies have discouraged risk-taking in economic growth and jobs. Now, there are some people, by the way, in response to this who said, well, no, it's understandable that we have a lower percent of our population participating because some of them are boomers that are retiring.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to get at. They talked to an economist who said, you know, as the baby boomers age, they are leaving the workforce.
They don't want to, a lot of them, you know.
Well, okay, but a lot of them do. And so that reduces the participation.
Right.
And then they're saying, well, more younger people are getting educated. That reduces.
They're staying in college because once they get out, they have to start repaying their student loans, so they take more classes.
And incur more student loans.
And incur more student loans. That's a vicious downward
cycle. I don't think that's
cycle.
A good
and
strategy.
And the third one, you know, the key bullet point, the third one, is really fascinating because there has been a soaring amount of disability claims over the last 10 or 15 years. In fact, there's like a cottage industry in the law profession to getting people on disability. Now, listen to this. Since 2003, which isn't really that long ago, is it? You know, we're just a little over a decade ago, there's been a 29% increase in disability claims by people who had little or no work experience. So in other words, you weren't, you know, one of these steel workers out here who fell or hurt his back and you're disabled. These are people with little or no work experience. They're all claiming benefits, and overall a 44% increase in disability claims for those who had formerly been in the workforce. The disability insurance part of Social Security, it's all that same thing, is scheduled to run out of money like now, but of course they're going to transfer funds from Social Security to pay the disabled.
Okay, someone did some great reporting on that.
I wrote a
60
column
minutes?
About it once.
Did you?
Or was it, oh, yeah.
Maybe NPR. But you go to some counties in Georgia, I think, where it seems like almost the majority of the people are on disability in one form or another.
It's a cottage industry, and those people, to go back to our original point, are not in the workforce.
And so they're not making any money.
Well, they're making plenty of money on disability.
Well, they're making money on disability, but it's not the sort of, it's not like it's a lot of money. I mean, I guess my point is, I'm not sure what the draw is other than
what the draw is.
Money for
Social
nothing.
Social Security disability is a reasonably generous payout compared to some of the jobs that are available for some. Look, let's stipulate first, because I could hear all your hackles raising out there in the audience. There are some people who are truly and seriously disabled,
sure,
who worked, paid into Social Security, and who absolutely should be getting disability insurance and perhaps more than they're getting. But what has happened around the fringes, the incentives were so created, the process for claiming disability has been so perverted, an entire part of the legal profession is there to get you claims, and therefore those people who are not really, it reminds me of the old Walter Jacobs said, you know, when he'd run around and say, oh, those municipal workers that were disabled, there they are lifting. They can lift their golf bag, but they can't lift a trash can. There are too many people taking advantage of that situation. It is not the whole reason for our slow job growth, but it is a significant factor because that fund runs out of money this year or next.
That's Terry Savage. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about young graduates and why they should be saving their money right now, right?
Exactly.
This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. 1223, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Terry Savage is in the studio. You can read her columns. Check out our website. A lot of information there at terrysavage.com. Terry, I was just going to check. I'm watching the Dow, you know, and there's that 18,000 mark. It can't gets there and gives it up. But there's a headline on CNBC, government calls for limits to short-term health coverage to ease Obamacare risk. Didn't we just talk about that a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, this is hysterical. I saw this come up. You know, 3 weeks ago, I wrote, you can go to terrysavage.com and click on Read Terry's Columns. They get archived on the Huffington Post. And you look back 3 weeks, I wrote a column about, hey, you're graduating. It might be too expensive for your parents to put you back on their plan, though you can until you're 26, and your student health coverage might expire. You could go for Obamacare, or you think you're going to get a job sometime in the next 6 months or a year. You're taking a gap year. I wrote, go get a short-term health insurance plan at agilehealthinsurance.com. It's a great site that specializes in that. And here's the headline. Federal officials Wednesday, now today, moved to improve the financial outlook of Obamacare plans by calling for limits on these increasingly popular short-term health care plans that I told you about a couple weeks ago, because what they do is they siphon off the healthier customers from the Obamacare coverage because it's a better deal to get it for a year or something like that. And you can always renew, I said, for another year. They want to limit it to only 3 months.
So the idea is that if you were just out of school, didn't have employee insurance, The benefit to the Obamacare proponents is if you're in Obamacare, you're paying premiums there, and you're probably
all the sick people,
right? Because you're probably not going to need it.
You see what's going on in Obamacare? Some of the major insurance companies, you know, I remember way back in 1972 when they put wage and price controls. They put price controls on beef. And for a minute, beef prices went down. All the farmers slaughtered their beef, and hamburger prices went down. But you can't force a farmer to grow a cow when feeding it is unprofitable if you limit the price at the end. Same thing. You can't force an insurance company, a private insurance company, and we've seen all of them backing out of these deals, to lose money by providing all the things that Obamacare requires and limiting the prices they can charge. So, of course, the insurers are getting out of the business.
Wait, are we having tag days for insurance companies?
Well, no, we're having tag days for consumers who will not be able to get the coverage, the specific coverage they need, and pay for it. You know, the best thing about Obamacare was pre-existing conditions were waived. It was the worst thing. That means people could wait, so they penalized him. And a lot of people just said, okay, I'll wait till I'm sick. So what you have, because they misorganize this so badly, you know, we found out about it after it was passed, notably said, is that only the most sick people are in these plans. The reimbursement, the pricing for the plans either has to go up dramatically or insurers will get out of the business.
Or we have to find ways to get younger, healthier people in by limiting the insurance.
The private insurance market. Right. So we'll force these young people to pay premiums. They're not going to use any services. Oh, they might get in a car accident or something. And it'll help shore up this program. It's just a financial economic fact. If you limit the prices and demand the coverage for everyone, it just can't work. And the private health insurance companies are going, I can't make money. Forget, we're losing money year after year.
All right, so we just talked about recent grads in a way, but we were going to talk about the way they could save money, and we were kind of out of time now.
I know we're out of time. I just posted a column at terrysavage.com. Click on recent columns, because I want you to share this with every college graduate. The fact is, when you graduate college, you have a wealth of time and no money.
I was just going to quote, as a new graduate, you have the most precious commodity on your side, time.
I show you in this column how to use it, and I also give another tip for recent college grads. You do have to start repaying your loans. There's a great website, IBR, Income-Based Repayment, IBRinfo.org, shows you all the opportunities to lower your payments. You don't really want to do that, but if you don't have a job, you really can do that. Pay off your student loans as soon as possible. IBRinfo.org is a great place to get more.
One other thing you said, try to save the same amount you're putting into Social Security. Try to put that away.
If you contributed for 50 years, the max that they take out in FICA...
$7,300.
Right, if you're making a lot of over 100 and something thousand. If you contributed a matching amount, a similar amount in your 401k in an S&P 500 index fund based on historic average returns with dividends reinvested in your in a 401k, you would have an account in 50 years, you college grads, worth $10 million. Instead, you're going to contribute to Social Security all your life, and I'll let you guess what will be there for you in 50 years.
That's Terry Savage. She'll be taking your guesses again next Wednesday on the Business Lunch. Nice to see you. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here on the Business Lunch. It's a Wednesday afternoon on 720 WGN. Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business in the studio, and his visit is sponsored by Allstate today. We thank them for that. And all right, so on the mound tonight at Cellular Field for the Chicago White Sox as they take on the Nationals is James Shields, also known as the highest-paid baseball player in the city of Chicago.
Absolutely, and the second highest-paid athlete overall, I believe. Yeah, behind Derrick Rose. He's only $300,000 behind Derrick Rose. He just signed a $21 million, or he's got a $21 million contract the White Sox picked up.
So we're looking at this list. Cranes has a list of the top 10 paid athletes. I see 9 on this list, but anyway, top paid athletes. And James Shields, so the Padres are going to pick up much of that.
So it's a bargain for the White Sox. So they only have to pay $5 million for the rest of the season.
I love, Danny Ecker wrote the story. He's been on it from time to time, but he points out that James Shields' sort of marketability isn't that good because he's not on social media and all of that, so the brands don't appeal to him. Yeah, but he's making $21 million.
Yeah, he doesn't really need the endorsement income.
He'll be okay. He'll be okay without the Buick endorsement deal or Papa John's.
He's got the old school Tops baseball card, partnership.
Right.
So that's all you need.
Okay, so you got Rose at the top, who, signed a big contract and hasn't really been delivering on it so much. You got this guy Shields, mm-hmm. who isn't so well known. John Lester then comes in at number 3 for the highest paid Cub at $20 million. Jimmy Buckets,
number 4 at $16.4 million.
Great Marquette basketball player, fine institution, or so I'm told. I was surprised, but at number 9 is Miguel Montero from the Cubs, a catcher, $14 million.
Yeah, so Miggy, and as you and I were talking about a little bit before the segment, it used to be common to have power-hitting catchers who could hit, 20 home runs or more. Now it's pretty rare. I mean, you've got Brian McCann with the Yankees, used to be with the Braves. Now you've got, and Miggy's got some pop. Now it's more toward defensive catchers. So I think, he commands that because he's not only, good behind the dish, but he can actually hit one out of the park.
Right. So Miguel Montero, the top bear is Jay Cutler. $16 million comes in at number 5. Then Alshon Jeffrey at 8. No one from the Blackhawks in this list.
No, and 4 of the top 10 are from the Cubs, and these are people that the young guys who are going to cash in. Chris Bryant,
yeah,
and all the other young guys are looking at to see. Okay, this is what happens when you do well your first 4 or 5 years. You can really cash in,
right?
So.
And just imagine if you do well on a winning team, on a World Series team, because it's inevitable, Frank.
Yeah, and so John Lester and John Lackey have that experience, and they're number 3 and number 5.
All right, so they could afford probably quite a few peanut buster parfaits at the neighborhood Dairy Queen.
That's right.
Do they still make peanut butter pies?
I think they do.
I asked Terry Savage.
They do. And Dilly Bars. They still make Dilly
and
Bars.
And Mr. Misty's. I was reading the story. I hadn't thought of it. So Dairy Queen is going to expand pretty significantly in the Chicago area.
Yeah, so Peter Frost, which is a good last name.
That's not really his name, is it?
It's a good last name. Our restaurants reporter has the scoop. Get it?
Okay, just keep
working
them coming,
on this. Yeah. ChicagoBusiness.com.
I like the way you're sprinkling them in there.
All right, so Dairy Queen's going to open up to 35 more stores in the Chicago area within the next 5 years. And they're saying even, if it goes well, maybe bump that up to 50. And they're looking at the city and suburban Lake and Cook counties. Right now, they have 269 stores in Illinois, and they have 145 restaurants in the metro area. So a fairly substantial increase. I think they're going to open one right at this back end of this studio, right?
Yeah, I think they should. Delivery. I like the fact that we've become way too hip with our regular stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's designer ice creams everywhere,
right.
The frozen yogurts, just a regular old dip Dairy Queen cone once in a while.
I love Dairy Queen. There's one near my house on the northwest side, and I take my kids there. If you and I would like this, we could be the next Warren Buffett, because they've got two current franchisees who are going to pick up some of these locations, but they're seeking new partners. So what do you think?
So if you want to open up a Dairy Queen, we could do it.
Yeah.
But tell me also about, because I have not been to Dairy Queen, the Grill and Chill stores. It looks like are they rebranding themselves?
Or? Yeah. So this has been something they've been doing for a while now. All their new ones they're opening is Grill and Chill. The one in the South Loop, which is near the Auditorium Theater, is a Grill and Chill. And basically what it is come in and have lunch here during the work week. You know?
I just see people leaving the auditorium and then going to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, right, their finery from the opera.
From the symphony.
So the Grill and Chill concept is basically just to get people to eat there during the day, during the week. So
to go have a lunch.
Yeah, you go have lunch. Go
a Brazier Burger.
A burger, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they used to call them the Brazier.
The Brazier Burgers.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And I did not know until I read this story by Peter Frost that the company started in Joliet.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I just knew the Warren Buffett part, that he loves Dairy Queen and he loves to drink Coke, so he always owns what he loves. And,
right.
Yeah.
Not bad. Okay, so we got that, and there's no real segue into Christopher Kennedy from there. But, Bruce Rauner he's probably just wrapping up. He had a news conference in Springfield this afternoon as the feuding continues between the governor and the speaker and the governor and the mayor and they seem to be a circular firing squad if there ever was one. People are talking about what Democrats might challenge Bruce Rauner in 4 years.
Right. So Greg Hines has this, again, ChicagoBusiness.com. We've got Chris Kennedy, who is the longtime head of the Merchandise Mart and former University of Illinois board chairman, is a top contender people are talking about. He's flirted with this campaign before.
Well, that's kind of the thing with him, isn't it?
In,
right?
Yeah. Lisa Madigan, similar kind of thing.
Because you hear the name from time to time. And then they might freeze out other people, and then they end up not getting in the race.
Exactly. And so then they have a weak candidate. But the Democrats feel that Governor Rauner is so wounded and so likely of a target that they really want a powerhouse candidate. And so they're saying, the operatives that are quoted in the story are saying, no flirting allowed this time. He's either got to get in quickly or let us know pretty quickly so we can move on.
He's been making the rounds, right?
Yeah. So he's, seems to be taking it seriously. And then, the waiting in the wings person, potentially, if the Democrats do not retake the U.S. Senate, is, Dick Durbin's
right.
name is being floated as a potential candidate.
I love what Hines writes about Durbin. He says he's a potential field clearer.
Yes.
Right? So if Durbin says he's in, no one else is going to run.
Yeah, he's the 900-pound gorilla, right? Because his he's, been one of the chief fundraisers for the Senate. He's got name recognition. He's very popular.
They're saying he didn't get passed over, but he was number two in the Senate.
Right.
Schumer's going to be the new leader.
Exactly. So if they don't take the majority back, he may have every reason to look at greener pastures.
And he doesn't out-and-out deny it. That he's looking at it, or that he might be a candidate, but
always nice to be talked about in a positive way as a savior of your party.
I'll let you know when that happens. All right, and I can't believe Bruce Rauner's. I mean, if you were Bruce Rauner, what's your motivation for running again? I mean, I guess unless you are a true, sincere believer in what you're doing,
right?
Otherwise, get the heck out.
Well, I mean, if you can't pass a budget in year three. He's got he's got two more tries, right?
Yeah.
And really one more before he'd have to decide. It begins to feel like you're either you need to change what you're doing or you need to stop beating your head against the wall.
Well, and it's the beating the head against the wall that I'm reacting to. I mean, aside whether you're good or right or whatever, it's got to be hugely frustrating.
If you can't get anything through, right.
Right. All right, Frank Sennett, and as Frank said, you could read these stories and more at chicagobusiness.com. We're going to talk about the – didn't you and I talk about the America's Cup last week?
We did.
Yeah, so we got some representatives.
I won, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Actually, it's this weekend, Frank.
What was the race I won then?
That's what kept the crowd down, wasn't it? This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Orion. Steve Bertrand here, along with Styx and Come Sail Away. No, along with Dan Lobering, who's the communications director for the local America's Cup venture. Dan, welcome to the studio.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been talking about this for weeks because I love it when, you know, we fall into sort of ruts and there's baseball, there's basketball, football, NASCAR now a little bit. We had the World Cup several years ago in Chicago. I'm still kind of ticked that the city didn't embrace it the way it should. And so now here's the America's Cup, this, you know, premier sailing event, and it's just a few days away coming to Chicago just off Navy Pier. Now, it's a qualifying event, right, for the finals?
Correct.
Explain that for me.
Yeah, so the Louis Vuitton America's Cup World Series is a series of qualifying events, and essentially they're earning points to take on Team USA in 2017 down in Bermuda.
To take on Team USA
because
they're the winners? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's interesting the way, you know, the format shifts, so... here in Chicago is very cool because we have all six teams competing.
Right.
But the actual final is a challenger versus the defender, which is USA.
So we've got the Oracle Team USA, the Emirates Team New Zealand, Japan, France, the Great Britain Team, Sweden Team. I don't know if I left any of those out.
That's it, yeah.
So there'll be the boats are launched tomorrow morning, right?
Correct. Tomorrow morning. You know, it's crazy that these boats are shipped on two shipping containers, and they've been down at Festival Hall. They got in this weekend,
really?
And they've been putting these things together. And then tomorrow, they'll actually lift them up with a giant crane into the water.
And there'll be some practicing to Friday, so if people want to check out the... You know, like when I do the air show, I just do the rehearsals. I watch for the Thunderbirds ahead. So
Friday. Yeah, Friday is our Conquer Cancer Day, which is really cool. And it's essentially like a dry run, so...
Uh-huh.
The teams will be out there. The helicopters will be out there. It'll be still quite a show.
All right. So how's it going? You know, this is a business show. So obviously this is about building an audience, creating some excitement for it. You're the communications guy. How's it going? What do you expect this weekend?
You know, we expect, you know, and fingers crossed for the weather, but it looks like it's going to be a really one of a kind event.
You know,
this is first time ever in Chicago, first time ever on fresh water. So there's a lot of buzz, and there's also an education factor. You know, we've been working on this a long time to try to rally Chicagoans to come out and
see
it.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, like I started about at the beginning where we have the same old summer stuff, and this is something you've got to really build attention to or draw attention to. How do you do that?
You know, we've had great partners, and I think, you know, through the work with the Chicago Sports Commission down at Navy Pier, Navy Pier is one of a kind from a venue perspective. Like if you go to the UK or if you go to even New York, like they don't have the infrastructure that we have in Chicago. And even the race course itself is going to be phenomenal because the proximity that we can be to these teams.
I mean, you've got a peninsula out in the water in a way, and that's a key thing. So because when I think of the America's Cup, you know, I always think of the boats far away. And you can't really see it. If you're on Navy Pier this weekend, you're going to get a pretty good view of this.
Yeah, exactly. The starting line, the finish line is right off the east end of the pier. Can't beat it. But even, you know, and I would, you know, give a plug, like, if you don't want to pay for a ticket, just come down. Like,
and
you
check
can come
it out.
To the pier. You can go down by Adler, down by the museum campus, even along the lakefront. You're going to see, I mean, these are tall boats. You know, you're going to see them.
Well, I'm glad you said that, right? Because it's something that we want it to be good for business. You know, we want it to be good for you guys. But we want it to be good for the city, too. So if you don't have the scratch to buy the ticket, come down to the lakefront. Buy a soda from someone downtown, but, you know, just take it in and enjoy this because this is a great event.
Yeah, you know, and Todd and, you know, Don Wilson, you know, he's played such a pivotal role in this. This all began with trying to get the final here. So, you know, a lot of those guys' mindset is, we got to put on the best show. Chicago's got to rally around it, because if USA wins, they get to pick.
They get to pick, and they might well come here.
And hopefully we'll be back here doing this again.
I know you're not a sailing guy necessarily,
yeah.
Right? Are the winds as reliable on the Great Lakes as they would be on the ocean?
It's funny, you know, Todd, who's our event director, you know, he studies these things, and they picked this particular weekend, they picked June, you know, hoping for the best
right.
wind, and, you know, they're looking for that 10 to 20 miles per hour range, and right now things are looking pretty good.
I hope they get it. Dan Lobring, communications director for the America's Cup this weekend. Good luck. I'm pulling for you. I hope it's a great weekend.
Thank you, and I would just tell people to check out LVACWSChicago.com. Buy your tickets. You can watch from a boat. You can come down to Navy Pier. It's gonna be a blast.
Sweet. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.